From the NBC newsroom. Up in Victoria, British Columbia, they have just had a preliminary air raid warning. The warning, known as the yellow message, was flashed by the British Columbia Civilian Protection Officer to each of his units. The warning calls for an alert. It is preliminary to an alarm sounded by sirens. And here's another bulletin from British Columbia. A complete blackout of coastal British Columbia and the lower mainland was ordered tonight. The warning said the precaution was being taken because an attack by Japanese forces on the Pacific Northwest coast is imminent. 350 square miles in the Long Beach, Los Angeles Harbor District were blacked out for 2 hours tonight. It was the first file blackout of the war out there. A quarter of a million people in that area were given short notice that their homes and streets would be thrown into complete darkness. But it was just a trial blackout. America's newest and most powerful tank was turned over to the U.S. Army today, just after Congress had declared war on Japan. It's a 60-ton monster, the B-1 type. It was made by the Baldwin Locomotive Works in Eddystone, Pennsylvania. In accepting the tank, Brigadier General Barnes declared that this great fighting vehicle exceeds all others in its military characteristics. Just one of the many new and previously unheard-of weapons of modern warfare being added day by day to our Army's military equipment. Now we thank the sponsor of this program for relinquishing a portion of his time in order that you might hear the latest news. If any further news develops, this program will be interrupted from the NBC newsroom.
Monday for almost 10 years for irradiated carnation milk, the evaporated milk used by more people in the United States, in Canada, and throughout the world than any other brand. Tonight, with our composer-conductor Percy Tate, the Carnation Company presents another portrait in music.
Never die and not be the greatest actress in the world, said the slim girl with the sapphire blue eyes and the mop of red gold hair. And she already was the greatest. Now the story with music of Sarah Bernhardt, who had the whole world at her feet. The Paris Conservatoire jury said the child has a voice of gold and accepted them. All her life, Sarah Bernhardt's golden voice won her money, jewels, men, fame. Paris forgave her tantrums because if you're a genius, temperament has often been mistaken for temper. Knowing Bernhardt's miserable childhood, we forgive her anything. Poor little girl, a selfish mother whom she adored, a father she never saw. Since she was in boarding school, and then for 10 minutes. Temperament? Of course. With German, French, Jewish, Flemish, and Gypsy blood in her veins. And Paris worshipped her, especially in her tragic, emotional role. slender girl with the amazing blue eyes had many gifts. At 16, she won a prize for a painting and got her first press notice. Bernhardt, whose name was in print somewhere every day for 60 years. She wrote, painted, modeled, and set styles. Fashion follows me, she said with magnificent, honest arrogance. In the theater, she was devil and angel. Slapped a famous leading lady's face for pushing her little sister. Insulted a famous critic. Quarreled with her managers. When they took a part away to discipline her, still only 18 years old, she shook her golden curls and ran off to Spain. Where she got herself briefly engaged to a favorite matador.
Viva, viva el torero! Viva, viva el torero! Viva, viva el torero! Viva, viva el torero! Viva!
Russian War of 1870 showed Bernhardt how little personal glory mattered compared with a suffering nation. Her temper grew softer, her beauty more ethereal than her military nurse's white uniform. She turned the Odeon Theater into a hospital, nursed the wounded, and begged overcoats till her friends were afraid to wear theirs. After the war, one theatrical triumph succeeded another. She took a magnificent studio, kept dogs, cats, goldfish, monkeys. Here she gave elaborate champagne parties nights she wasn't playing. She modeled the bust of Baron Rothschild and smashed it to bits, which she sent him, when all he said was, "Is it me?" She was artist all through, and she loved the artist life. That's the mood of this Strauss waltz.
brief intermission and a reminder of an obligation we all owe at Christmas time, but sometimes forget in the holiday rush. Shops are crowded, people have money to spend, and how they're spending it. But others aren't so fortunate. Husbands are sick, unable to work. Weary mothers have hungry mouths to feed with scarcely a crust of bread in the pantry. Let's think of them now and do something about it tomorrow. It's not a bit too early. Get the name of a needy family from any of the fine organizations whose business it is to know about such things. Ask their advice about what foods are best to give. Then see your grocer and have him fix up your Christmas basket of good things to eat. And be sure to include nourishing carnation milk. It's a grand idea, giving grocery gifts, not just to the needy, but also to friends who have everything. What more festive than a hamper crammed with fancy eatables, fruit, cheeses, preserves, and appetizer fixings? Name anything that will make a bigger hit. Yes, give grocery gifts, and you're sure to ring the Christmas bell. In love with Sarah Bernhardt reads like an index of the great Frenchmen of the 19th century. Actors, painters, poets, sculptors, architects. Sarah calls herself a Republican now, but she never forgot Emperor Napoleon had been her friend. When Prince Napoleon called years before, she shook his hand instead of kissing it. Spiteful kitten, he said, as so many others were to say. But he came back, as so many others were to come. If ever a woman in France was a law unto herself, it was the divine Sarah. Bernhardt never loved any man because he was rich, nor would she tolerate idleness. All during her career, she had enormous influence on art, inspiring men to greater accomplishment when they protested their love.
tours, American tours. Bernhardt liked American men. Ah, she said, of Theodore Roosevelt. That man and I, we could rule the world. The story is that Commodore Vanderbilt took a box every night and said, Adore, you're the only woman who ever made me cry. When the uncrowned Queen of Paris returned to France, distinguished personages met her ship. Flags flew, warships fired salutes. That was to be expected. What was not expected was marriage. To Damala, a Greek. Handsome, unscrupulous, a morphine addict. Sarah spent 7 terrible years before he died. But she'd been fascinated. She'd even followed him to Russia, where Grand Duke stated her, and she played a command performance for the Tsar. She and Damala had a brief happiness there. She loved the Nevsky Prospect. She loved the Nevsky Prospect in St. Petersburg, its magnificent palaces, splendid shops, fashionable crowds, and loved the stirring Russian music.
To bring you a special bulletin. From the NBC newsroom in New York, Washington, high War Department officials said tonight that they had received no reports indicating that any sort of air attack or other belligerent action was imminent on the West Coast. This bulletin was from the NBC newsroom.
As she grew older, Sarah Bernhardt was marvelously beautiful and high-spirited. In the old days, she was always in debt, earning 20,000 francs and spending 50. But now, with more than $6 million from her American tours, she was extravagant beyond words. She swept on to new conquests, new enemies, and always that voice of gold that many of us remember. A devil, yes, but the favorite host of the world, the darling of two hemispheres. You remember how she overcame handicaps of age and illness. The flame burned high long after a lesser woman would have given up. She had to act from an armchair, but she acted. When she was 71, she was at the front in the World War, playing for her beloved French soldiers. Carnation footnote to the story of Sarah Bernhardt. Her autograph appears on the visitor's book at the Carnation Milk Farms near Seattle. On one of her tours, the Divine Sarah made a special trip to see the remarkable work in scientific breeding and feeding of dairy cattle that has been going on for 30 years at this famous experimental farm. Now, if you have this week's Life magazine, turn to page 71 and enjoy that rollicking picture of a little blue-eyed boy on the bathroom scales and read his own words. A guy sure does grow when he sticks to Carnation. Yes, it's a fact. Irradiated Carnation milk is an exceptionally fine milk for children to grow on. It's pure and safe, easy to digest, and as nourishing as milk can be, with extra richness in sunshine vitamin D to help build strong, straight bones and fine, sound teeth. With its double richness properly diluted, it's fine for children to drink. And for eating, well, there's nothing better than Carnation for packing milk nourishment into dishes that children love. Try your youngsters on Carnation. They'll like it. The chimes of lullaby time and our lullaby lady's song. Will be that of Charles Dickens. And remember, on Monday, December 22nd, comes Carnation's annual Christmas party for underprivileged boys and girls. You mustn't miss them. Tonight's soloists were Reinhold Schmidt Lasso and William Miller Tenor. Our narrator was Brett Morris. Special musical arrangements were by our conductor, Percy Faith. This is Vincent Pelletier speaking for the Carnation Company and inviting you on this day of proud and solemn resolution to join us in the national anthem.